And the weather today, highs of 18 degrees centigrade, lows of 13 degrees centigrade, bright morning with a possibility of cloudy afternoon and showers possible as well. Everything's possible, really.
Singer, scholar, festival ambassador and midweek dry vet. It's Eva MacDonald on the Midweek Drive.
Yes, we can say those words again. Or rather, Rachel Abbott can say those words again because she's back. So, Eva, although you're back telephonically, you're not back physically, sort of physically in the studio. I mean, Shaylee, there's no sign of Eva MacDonald physically in the studio, is there?
I hope not, otherwise she's invisible.
Exactly. She's not she's not taken the invisible serum. She's not the invisible woman. Why is this, Eva? What have you been busily doing entertaining folk on the wonderful world of Skegness?
Yep, I currently work at Southview Leisure Park in Skegness, and I'm there till November.
November? This is just, I mean, that's outrageous. What on earth can be going on between now and November? I thought the summer season had actually finished. The children are back at school, surely.
Yeah, they still do the September and October months. And then the official last day is the 31st of October. So, yeah.
So what sort of things, then, are you doing? Because, I mean, this is clearly where I was sort of said singer, operetta, aura and midweek driver. What kind of things are you doing in Skegness?
So, I currently, in the daytime, we do, like, the kids' activities. So it's just, like, entertaining the children and doing activities, running sessions for them. And then in the evening, it's doing the evening game shows. And it's also being in shows or singing a set. So that's more my kind of area, and sing the sets just to entertain the crowds.
Shaylee.
Mm-hmm.
What question?
So that's kind of the role.
Shaylee, what would you like to ask Eva? Every sense of the word, go for it, Shaylee, because, you know, again, I sense as though she's out there in the world. All this experience she'll bring back to the studio post-November time. It's awesome.
So are you coming back to Lincoln?
Oh, yes. So when this contract finishes, yeah, I'll come back to Lincoln, and I'll be able to come back to the Diamond. It was a last minute. It all happened within a week, really, because I was planning to stay in Lincoln over the summer, and mentor on the National Citizen Service like I did last year.
Yes.
But then, of course, I got contacted through by Southview Leisure Park.
Skegness and the Southview Leisure Park needs Eva MacDonald.
Yeah. It happened within a week, and I thought because they sort of approached me, I thought I should go and do that instead.
Precisely.
So I did.
And as we said, once we actually get a system which actually connects with your phone, we can actually feature you a lot more, clearly, as opposed to these sort of times where, you know, Eva, that Shaylee has come in all bright-eyed and bushy-tailed, just thought, is she on the show today? Is she? And we've had lines from Tessa in Glen saying, is she on the show, etc. And I said, yeah. She said, we're all scheduled to do this. Call the number. We get, hello, this is Eva MacDonald's answer phone. Leave a message. Oh, unbelievable. But we
found...
I blame technology.
You were blocking our calls.
It's always the phone.
Yeah.
No, my phone was blocking your calls.
Yeah, your phone.
I was in work, so I couldn't pick it up.
Can I use that line when my boyfriend tries to call me? My phone is blocking your call.
It's a very good
when I'm working.
In the world of Eva MacDonald, I think that is what we've come to know and appreciate. You know, even Sarah Bullen would actually say that's a nice one. That, you know, it's not me, it's my phone. All right, that's what it's all about. It's the phone that did it. Nicely done. So today's a bit of a day off then, I presume. So, I mean, once yeah. Temperature actually say it's a day off, so why aren't you in the studio? Sorry, Eva. You know, it's,
I'm still in Skegness.
You're still in Skegness. That's okay, because that was the moment where I thought, well, maybe actually you're actually in Skegness. So what is it? I mean, why then should we get a midweek drive trip to actually come and see you in Skegness? Because clearly, Muhammad, Mountain Muhammad, and so on. Obviously, other metaphors are available. Why should we come and see you? Because I have a feeling that certainly Tessa would be up for sort of a little
for the fish and chips.
Well,
yeah, you can do. Yeah, that'd be nice.
For the ice cream.
Yeah, I mean, and we could bring like Red Cross parcels and things for you because, you know, Skegness, such a long way away. It's very strange.
Well, it's only about 40 minutes, isn't it, in that time?
Well, a lot of you walking it, surely. You know, it's all, you know,
a couple of days.
Yeah, so, I mean, I'm thinking about a little pilgrimage.
We'll be there next week.
A pilgrimage not too dissimilar, I think, to Chaucer's tales, effectively, where we'd have the Canterbury tales. We could actually have the Skegness tales. By the way, that's not our tummy. That's actually a drill outside the studio, in case you're thinking, have you not had any breakfast this morning? Exactly. Is there something else that's actually there? Unbelievable. Eva, are you ready now? Are you psyched up to receive those long two questions from Shaylee McKenzie?
Oh, of course.
Okay then, Shaylee, with the accompaniment of the drill in the background there. Wonderful. It's great. In the key of, you know, whatever. Would you like to ask Eva McDonald those last...
Silence is golden.
Pay attention now. Those last two questions. Take it away, please.
Indeed. Eva, have you enjoyed your telephonic link with us today?
Oh, I have. It's been lovely speaking.
Oh, good. And can we hopefully rely on you for next week?
Of course.
Yes.
Excellent.
Yes. What kind of music would you like us to play for you, Eva, to actually take us around to the next little feature? Any particular artist that you think, yes, this would be my tune that I can listen to on the podcast, and so on?
I'm a fan of Ed Sheeran at the moment. Ed Sheeran.
Of course, I mean, he's doing so well with respect to overseas sales. So clearly, he's doing extraordinarily well and needs every little penny that works out. Any particular Ed Sheeran number that you actually would like to go for?
I do like Perfect. We have Perfect.
Perfect. We've got Photograph, we've got Thinking Out Loud, we've got Shape of You. Do you know, I don't think Perfect seems to be in the system. Amazing. We've got
Thinking Out Loud. That's a nice song.
Thinking Out Loud. It is indeed, and it's just in time to actually do a little duet, Ed Sheeran and The Drill, which is wonderful. It's great stuff. That's marvellous. We'll lose The Drill probably as Ed Sheeran takes it away.
When your legs don't work like they used to before, and I can't sweep you off of your feet, will your mouth still remember the taste of my love? Will your eyes still smile from your cheeks? Darling, I will be loving you till we're 70. And baby, my heart could still fall as hard at 23. And I'm thinking about how people fall in love in mysterious ways. Maybe just the touch of a hand. Well, me, I fall. My hair's all but gone and my memory fades, and the crowds don't remember my name. When my hands don't play the strings the same way, I know you will still love me the same. 'Cause honey, your soul could never grow. Maybe it's all part of Kiss me under the light of a thousand stars. Oh, darling, place your head on my beating heart. I'm thinking out loud that maybe we found love right where we are. Well, maybe we found love right where we are. And we found love right where we are.
One of the catchphrases that we seem to have coined with our regular correspondent from the pharmaceutical industry, Zenis Gore, is that sugar is the new nicotine. And it seems that with sugar swap September very much coming to the fore, people are having a lot more difficulty in terms of cooking and indeed in kicking that sugar habit, not just cooking it, to kind of address some of the findings of recent research and actually look at sugar swap September. We're delighted to welcome Denplan dentist Catherine Rutland. How are you, Catherine?
I'm very well, thank you.
And also the founder of the Sugar-Free Londoner, that would be Catherine Nürnberger. How are you, Catherine?
Very good, thank you.
Excellent. Catherine, let's come to your good self to start off with. This research in terms of our addiction, it would seem, or the addiction of many human beings to the old sugar scenarios, it's not good, is it?
No, it's not good. And Denplan's research has found that a lot of people find particularly going cold turkey very, very difficult. So last year we had the Sugar-Free September campaign, but we realised that was very, very hard for people. We really need to try and decrease our bad habits rather than just shift them completely straight away, because the problem is then we tend to fail and we don't stick at it, obviously. So taking things sort of a day at a time, committing to sort of slowly decreasing, tell other people what you're doing. It's well known that if you actually tell other people what you're going to do, you're more inclined to do it because you don't want to be embarrassed by failing. So make sure people know what you're doing and do it gradually over a sort of 30-day time period.
Interesting that more Brits would actually be willing to give up Facebook for more than a year and indeed sex than sugar, which is, again, astounding in any way, shape or form. I suppose actually the Facebook I can kind of understand. Catherine, if we can turn to your good self and we'll talk about Sugar-Free Londoner. That's obviously a blog. It's online. Why did you decide to set it up?
Well, first of all, because I love food and because I love talking about it. And also because going sugar-free has just made me feel so much better. So I had a chronic inflammation problem a few years ago and ended up seeing a holistic practitioner. She advised me to give up sugar because sugar feeds inflammation. And it worked. Basically, even better, I really liked what I ate. So I set up the website to share my recipes and to show others that you can give up sugar without giving up on taste or on treats. You can make sugar-free desserts that are basically so healthy you could eat them for breakfast.
Now, looking towards that, I mean, from the dentist point of view, Catherine, is that, again, something where you'd say, actually, yes, because sugar, it's almost like an acid that you're pouring into your mouth to actually, you know, destroy enamel and all kinds of other things.
Yeah, absolutely. Every time you have a sugar input, it feeds the bacteria in your mouth. And as I say, they then produce acid. And that acid is what then attacks the teeth, which is obviously not good. The frequency with which you intake that sugar is a big problem. So the mouth's very clever, the body generally is very clever, and the saliva will actually buffer that acid that the bacteria produce. But if you don't give it enough time to do so, which is at least an hour, then it will carry on and that acidic pH will sit around in your mouth. So it's not just about the quantity of sugar, it's also about the frequency that you're intaking it.
Is there a challenge in terms of frequently the marketing folk would actually have us believe that various fruit drinks and so on are actually sort of perfectly healthy and so on? Well, actually, they're jam-packed with sugar and they're probably the worst thing you should be going for.
Yeah, again, because of the acidity and the frequency and the so, for example, a fruit juice, if you have a sort of a glass of orange juice, that's absolutely packed with sugar. It's the way that it's processed. So you do need to be very, very careful. I think people quite often will go for what they think are healthy alternatives, whereas actually they're equally damaging. The other thing for that is dried fruit. A lot of people give their children, for example, raisins as an alternative to giving them sweets. But of course, actually, raisins are absolutely packed with sugar again. So you do need to be very, very careful what you're actually intaking. Just because it seems healthy, it's not necessarily on the sugar front.
Catherine, when you decided to set up Sugar-Free Londoner, was it a case of the zeal of the newly converted? Did you go through the cold turkey scenario? Or did you, as you've just said a few moments ago, feel actually this needs to be shared with people?
basically because I wasn't feeling well, and giving up the sugar made me feel better. For me, that was not the hard bit. But I think for somebody who just wants to give up sugar because they want to lose some weight or because they want to feel better, maybe they'll have a few days where they might not feel it might not be easy in the beginning. But the good news is that when you curb your sugar intake for just 1 month and you just take it one day at a time, it's just not going to be hard. Basically, you can reduce your risk of tooth decay. You can lose some weight, especially around the middle. You can improve your skin and you can just feel so much more energetic.
When we actually started the piece, we talked about that line being sugar being the new nicotine. Now, we seem to be making some sort of progress in terms of giving up nicotine from that point of view. Catherine, do you think the prognosis is good? Will we actually sort of kick this sugar habit and we'll look in, I don't know, a few years' time and actually say, yeah, actually, sugar, not good for you, just step away from it?
I think we're getting there, but it's a slow process. As all the stats have shown, and this research definitely shows, is that we are so addicted to sugar as a nation. So it is going to be a slow process. I think we have to be realistic about that, but I think raising awareness of it and making people think about it. As dentists, we've been doing it for years, so it's really nice to have some sort of national campaigns like this to actually really raise that awareness. And as Catherine says, it's the general health messages as well. Obviously, as a dentist, we're coming at it very much from an oral health perspective, but there's so much else that sugar does to you that it's better for you not to have it.
And presumably sugarswapseptember.co.uk is the best website to go to find out further details.
Absolutely. So Denplan's website, sugarswapseptember.co.uk, is packed with tips and guides on how to make simple, handy sugar swaps. It also features a chart to help you track your progress, and it's got some recipes from Sugar Free Londoner.
And presumably, if you wish to actually access Sugar Free Londoner, you can go directly to the blog as well, Catherine.
Absolutely.
Catherine Nürnberger. Hopefully, we've got the pronunciation of the umlaut right there.
That's very good.
And Catherine Rutland, many thanks indeed. Take care now.
Thank you.
Thank you.
from the album of the same name. The Punishment of Luxury and OMD, Orchestral Manoeuvres in the Dark. In a few moments' time, we'll be hopefully connecting with Sarah Willingham to actually talk about this phenomenal research that's revealed the entrepreneurial spirit is alive and well with Britain's children. So there we are. And the rise of the kid-trepreneur. I don't think that works really for me, the kid-trepreneur.
You said it right this time, right?
I know, but it's still something.
Doesn't roll off
quite
the
sort of work positively with that. I'm sure if John Wenham is actually listening to this as he's pounding the keys for the events diary, he'll say, kid-trepreneur, dear, please, mangling the English language. It just doesn't flow. Never mind. And we'll hopefully still be speaking to Tessa Snart as well in a matter of moments from now. And then, before you know it, it'll be 7 o'clock. And it'll be time for Sound and Country Vision Volume 2. It's amazing the way the time flies by, really. It's astounding.
When you're having fun, maybe.
If you're looking at the time at present, it's 25 past 9 o'clock. That's 9:25 a.m. and 3 seconds. Yes, you see, it's when they start using microwave ovens and custom delivery and so on with respect to young kid entrepreneurs that we'll actually say they're moving into all sorts of things. Well, who knows? We've talked about this on the programme so far. We've had various lines. The sweet option seems to be very much one that's been taking in terms of the initiative Making Cash Flow Child's Play. But ultimately, the best person to go to for advice and indeed her thoughts on this survey, which reveals that almost a third of British children want to be their own boss when they grow up, is the awesomely talented, amazingly wonderful Sarah Willingham. Good morning, Sarah.
What a an introduction. I don't know what to say after that now.
Sarah, as you know, you're one of the few special folk for whom we actually have... At times, we've even done these things live in the London studio. You've even seen our station mascot at times, so it's always a pleasure.
Oh, yes, we have. How is he?
He's well. He still tells me, Spike, regularly the day that his highlight in his short life has basically been meeting you, Sarah. It's just
get
wonderful.
Lost. Oh, come on. Love it.
Yeah. So, this particular survey that's revealed that almost a third of Britain's children are looking to own their own businesses and be their own boss when they grow up. I mean, clearly, you've inspired them, Sarah.
But isn't this brilliant? I mean, when Zero asked me to be part of this campaign, I looked at these statistics and just thought, this really is the future of our economy, of our country. I'm so excited to think that there are so many youngsters now that want to be part of that entrepreneurial revolution. It's brilliant.
Mm. And the old newspaper round was suggested by Ian Lennox earlier as one way in which finance was enhanced as a child. And perhaps when we're looking for an entrepreneur, then maybe you need to have a franchise of newspaper distributions from that perspective.
You know, that was my first job. So I had a paper round when I was 11 years old. I delivered 181 papers and earned
£1.81. Mm. You see, just the quality that's actually there. So, in terms of this particular research, were there any surprising factors that you thought, oh, that's an interesting one from that point of view? I mean, obviously, selling your toys on eBay is an interesting one from that, selling chocolate sweets at school. In the studio, we have Shaylee McKenzie. Shaylee, I think you've already experienced when you were at school the added cash that can be sorted out by selling sweets.
Definitely. I mean, we had a guy called Robert Potter at our school who I think he bought large quantities of chocolates and sweets from like a warehouse and then sold them for an extortionate price, ended up making a lot of money and bought his own Xbox, which at the time was quite elitist. Oof. So
there you go, Sarah. So from your own perspective, Sarah, any surprises from that perspective?
I think the thing which I found most, I guess, encouraging and fascinating about this research, because Zero have come at it from the point of view of saying, look, we work with small businesses on their cash flow management. This is what we do. And this is such an enormous part of the success of any business. You know, two-thirds of small businesses fold in the first 5 years because of cash flow management. So how far back does this go? And then starting to look at children's behaviour and what can we do to help kids? And the fact that so many children, I mean, the average youngster earns £5,000 by the age of 16, that's a lot of money. That really is a lot of money. So it's saying, well, what can we do to help that generation understand things like cash flow management, which seems like quite a scary word? How can we help them early on? Mm. And I don't know if you've seen the video on that they've done to back this up. It's absolutely brilliant, actually, small tear in my eye. Mm. But it's kids talking about how they can save their pocket money, how to have kind of better principles around earning money. So it was building client relationships. So it was sort of be nice to dad. When dad says, no, I did give you your pocket money last week, it's like, well, actually, I made proper records of the invoice that I gave you, and you signed for it. So you can't tell me that you gave it to me last week because I've got my record to show that you didn't. You know, it's a really strong principles that businesses need, but bringing it back down to the basics of pocket money or earning money around the house. And it makes it extremely simple. I mean, and the more that we can do to help the next generation understand these basics, the better and more successful entrepreneurs they're going to be.
Shaylee, I think you're a bit surprised at that. And I mean,
I'm shocked.
As somebody in your early 20s, just graduated and so on, is there something you think, ooh, that's unusual?
Definitely. I mean, I grew up in a South African household, so we cleaned for free. Mum told you, clean the bathroom, you cleaned it. You didn't get money. And, yeah.
Did you not have a Saturday job?
I did. I worked at a garden centre and I earned £2.50 an hour, but that was only when I was about 14. I can remember we had three floors in our house and I would clean the middle floor from about the age of 9/10. And that would include my bedroom, my brother's bedroom and the bathroom. And I would just do it because my mum said so. And when I said why, she would say, because I said so.
But But if you did that from the age of sort of 12, 13 and worked in a garden centre, and let's say you worked 8 hours a week and you earned a couple of pounds an hour, that takes you pretty close to the £5,000 mark before you've reached the age of 16.
True, yeah.
This isn't about kids being given the money necessarily by the parents. This is about kids going out and earning it themselves. So selling money on eBay, selling things at school, cleaning neighbours' cars, doing a paper round, mowing and watering neighbours' gardens, that type of thing. Really encouraging children to understand the value of money, which is really important, and finding better ways of earning that same money. So, you know, when I looked at it, I thought, God, £5,000, that's such a lot of money. But when I then broke it down and thought, even, you know, I'm 43, so I'm going back quite a long time when I was before the age of 16, you know, and I thought to myself, I easily earned that before I was 16. Mm. You know, I've worked since I was 11, and it was, you know, if I needed to save for something, my parents never gave me a penny. If I needed to save for something, I had to go out and, you know, deliver a few more papers or wash a few more old ladies' hair, or, you know, when I worked in the cafe or whatever. And it really instilled a strong sense of understanding the value of money from a very, very young age. And I think the more that we can do as parents to encourage that and to help kids to save for something. You know, we think about cash flow management, we're like, oh, that's, what does that even mean? I can't possibly help my children to do this. But it's, you know, if you've got £5 and you need £20 for something, you need to find another £15 from somewhere, and you need to earn that, and then you need to take off anything else that you need to spend in the meantime. That's basically a cash flow. You know, it is that simple. And getting kids thinking like that from a very young age is really going to help the next generation of entrepreneurs.
Making cash flow child's play, as we say. And in case you're wondering, zero is with an X, as in xenophobic, as in zero, as Professor says, zero, X-E-R-O.
I've actually heard of this. Basically, I worked for a lovely pub called Tap House Lincoln, and they're a small
shameless
business.
Plugs, but never mind. Other pubs are available.
I do apologise.
It's okay.
And it's owned by the Delahaye family, and they it's like a small business, and they actually use an app called Zero Accounting in order to manage cash flow and like invoices and stuff. So I've actually heard of that before.
So clearly adding to making cash flow child's play, from your own perspective, Sarah, it's a winner.
Yeah, that's it. I mean, they're one of the million businesses that use that software, and this is about trying to help the next generation understand that it's not scary. It's quite basic. And the more that we can do, as I said, to help, the better. I'm very excited about the future of entrepreneurs in our country. Very excited.
It's that energy that comes across. Although, as I say, I'm still not tremendously happy from a language perspective about kidtrepreneur. It doesn't...
kidtrepreneur.
Kidtrepreneur, I don't know. It's... doesn't quite flow for me somehow. Entrepreneur, yes.
Why don't you come up with a new?
Clearly, we'll have to set that together. I mean, I think a Willingham entrepreneur, as in sort of like Sarah is inspiring people to actually become that, then I think that would work. You know, that sort of has a resonance. Sarah, where can people go to find out further information about the cloud accounting software company Xero, and perhaps even more importantly, or equally as importantly, the Making Cash Flow Child's Play initiative?
Well, if you look at the Xero blog, if you put that into Google, you will find the video. And I do think if you do nothing else, just watch that video. It's really, really fun, and it does make it super simple.
We've come around to those last two questions, which you probably actually remember, Sarah. Have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic link with us on the programme today? Has it been okay for you?
As always, it's been a joy.
Well, there we are. And Spike is very excited as well, so that's
all
great.
Oh, hello, Spike.
That's wonderful. So can we prevail upon you to join us again in the not-too-distant future? Will you join us to keep us appraised of all manner of wondrous things?
I hope so. If you'll have me, I'll be back.
Oh, round of applause for Sarah Willingham, please.
Yay! Mexican wave. We'll be right back.
Keeping the old pie, the financial things going there. Pink Floyd and Money, of course, take us out of the Dragon's Den, well, former Dragon's Den, so. And general, great person, Sarah Willingham. Well, with Eva MacDonald clearly working her fingers to the bone and entertaining folk in Skegness, we might get a wander over there somewhere in a shape or form. You might as well say, what's been happening with respect to Tessa Snart, given that she's on air this evening with Sound and Country Vision Volume 13, just after 7 o'clock? Well, actually, Tessa has been working since, I think, 4 a.m. this morning, Shirley. That's the kind, yeah. And she's been shifting boxes and shells and doing all sorts of things. We can't mention the company because it's Max TK. No, we can't possibly say that, so we won't say anything more in terms of shameless plugs. But how's it been? And are you now sort of having a good cup of tea and lie down, Tessa Snart?
I am. I literally, as soon as I walked in the door, I made a cup of tea. Ready for the phone link this morning, but
yeah. Psyching yourself up for the whole sort of process, which is very good. Yeah, you probably only had a chance to actually listen to the output of the program either, which we've,
well, I did. I've just literally caught the last 2 or 3 minutes. I did tune in, so I was listening to your conversation on starting your own business, becoming entrepreneur. So I have listened to it a little bit.
So did it inspire you, Tessa? I mean, are you thinking, yeah, that would be for me?
I mean, I remember we've actually, we've talked about this subject before, and I think I said becoming an entrepreneur or running my own business, I believe I said that I didn't want to, but to be honest, I've changed my mind from that completely, and I think it is important. And really what Shaylee said about when she was growing up and she used to do her chores and she didn't get paid for it, I was exactly the same. My mum would always say to me, we all live in this house. It's a team effort. Mm. You shouldn't be paid for doing it. And obviously that
sounds just like Leanie Jane to me, you know, kind of hard, you know, that harsh taskmistress sorting it out, you know, you do this, etc.
I couldn't understand it at first, but now I'm older, I can actually see, you know, we do all live in the house. If I was to own my own house, I'd be doing it. Now at university, you're doing your own cleaning. You don't get paid for that. But so I think, yeah, maybe the business side of things is actually going out to work and earning the money, or creating your own project and selling it. I think, like the lady you just had on said, so I agree with that. But I had a lot of friends that got paid for just doing some chores around the house. So, but yeah.
Collective responsibility. And on such things are economic ideologies writ large. Let's move on to more positive things. Wasn't it exciting, Tessa, given it was only 168 hours ago, a little bit less than that, actually, when we were speaking to Gemma Tattersall, and where did she finish? Third overall. She would have actually won. She would have won Bramham if she hadn't had a set of faults on the final day, when I think she knocked over one of had a four faulter, etc. In terms of the show jumping. Otherwise, she would have been ahead of Oliver Townend. She would actually won the whole thing.
Well.
You see, just because Michael Young, on the other hand, who we decided we didn't want to chase up for an interview, no show. so there we are. The power of Snart left Duke and the midweek drive on patrol. It's amazing stuff. Did you go back, or did you sort of get around to the saying, no, I'm sorry, one day at Burley is quite sufficient for me?
No, I ended up going back on Saturday just for a couple of hours. Mm-hmm. I didn't get to stay long, but I got to see a few of the things that I didn't see when we were interviewing, so that was quite nice.
Yeah.
But Mum and Dad actually went on the Sunday, so
very good.
They got to see the final.
Excellent.
Yeah, the finals.
Well, you see, sort of passing the thing down there. And of course, next week, Shaylee is very excited because last night, not only were we talking about fudge at Lindisfarne and Holy Island with William Coles, and of course, the connection with Burley, but also the first autumnal or autumn flower show in Harrogate.
I'm excited.
Sadly, it doesn't look as though Tessa may be able to join us on that. So
what a shame.
Right.
There's always next year.
Definitely, I really wanted to, but unfortunately something's come up and I'm not able to.
Well, somebody's passed away and gone into a different planet, I believe, so she's going to a funeral.
That seems to be a running theme today.
Do you notice that?
Yeah.
You know, exactly. It's all right. I hope most of our listeners are still there, you know, we like to feel we come together because we've got a mission to do, which is important. So, Tessa, as we said, what's happening on Sound and Country Vision Volume 13 that people should actually tune into this evening?
Yes, so this evening at 7 p.m, part two of our Sound and Country Vision special will be airing, so you can hear again a whole load of guests choosing their favourite country songs and sort of saying what country music means to them. So join in the celebrations and tune in.
Exactly. And thanks to Gabriella Peralta, Richard Fitzwilliams, Ian Lennox, Ruth Crilly, Eva MacDonald, Tessa Snart, Sarah Willingham. Of course, Tessa was back with us again. She was originally early up in the schedule, but now we've moved her back because she was still working for that company, which we can't mention, etc. Are you back next Wednesday, Tessa, or is it a case of no? You'll be back in a couple of weeks' time.
No, I don't think it's next Wednesday. Mm-hmm. I think it will be the following I'll be back,
well,
I believe.
There you go, you see. So that's when she will return. Shaylee, last two questions for Miss Snart, please.
Indeed, it's a pleasure. Have you enjoyed your link with us today, Tessa?
I have, as I always do.
Oh, good. Mm. And so when's the next time we're going to see you? Tonight?
2 weeks. You can hear her tonight, actually, on Siren FM, obviously. And you can download the stuff and just go to the Facebook page on Sound and Country Vision. You can like the thing, do all sorts of other areas on that basis. Tremendous.
We're back in the studio in 2 weeks' time, I think. Back in Megan.
Yeah, precisely. Whether she makes the morning shows on Thursday, I don't know. She used to when she was a first year, but who knows? Who knows what could actually happen as far as that's concerned. Okay, that's it. Shaylee, have you enjoyed the programme?
I have indeed, Alex.
Marvellous. We've done our little roll of honour, so well done as far as that's concerned. Up to the news with the Undertones and Dua Lipa, new rules, whatever. And Niall Horan. Is it Niall Horan? That's Niall Horan. Niall, you see we're into that whole pronunciation again.
Yeah, is it Niall?
Niall Horan, exactly.
Niall, I believe.
Yeah. Oh, well, that's it. Can we all say, have a great Thursday? One, two, three.
Have a great Thursday.
Have a great Thursday.